Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and this is Elite of the Week. It's Elite of the Year. Week in and week out, after every AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, Double or Nothing, Revolution, All Out, and now ending in Full Gear, we ranked the top 10 wrestlers of the week based on winning titles, defending titles, earning title shots, winning big rivalries, and overall asserting dominance. We also gave some awards for folks who are the best dressed. Every week, the wrestler who got ranked number one received 10 points. Ranked number two received 9 points. Ranked number three received 8 points. So on and down the line. And tonight, we are adding up the points and finding out who the top 50 wrestlers for AEW were this year, not just based on what the year looks like by looking back, but by using points the wrestlers won by putting in the work week in and week out. Who will be number one? Let's find out. Before we get going, though, I do want to take a quick moment to thank everyone who has liked, commented, shared, subscribed, five-star reviewed, or interacted with the show. It's really appreciated, and I can't thank you all enough. But we're going to be going on hiatus after this episode. So if this is it, I just want you all to know it's been fun. And who knows, maybe you'll be seeing me do this for AEW in the future, eh? In any case, let's get on to the rankings already. At number 50, it's the Dark Order with 12 points. This group is lovable and has had some great matchups with the Elite, Miro, and many more. Plus, it was their friendship that helped give Adam Page the confidence to be a champion. This is the only group listed in the top 50, but I kind of felt like they earned a spot here. At number 49, Best Friends with 12 points. These two always put on really good matches, and whether they're telling jokes or having serious parking lot throwdowns, they always entertain. And when competing, Trent and Chuck Taylor are always in the conversation for a tag team championship match. Same amount of points as Dark Order, but since Dark Order is a full stable and Best Friends are a tag team, they get the tiebreaker here. At number 48, it's Dustin Rhodes with 12 points. Always puts on great matches, always throws down, even when outgunned, always makes it worth the price of admission, and always the backbone of the Nightmare family. Had the same amount of points as Dark Order and Best Friends, but since he's an individual and those two are teams, he gets the tiebreaker here. At 47, it's Anthony Ogogo, 13 points. Seemed to be a big star as he built towards a match with Cody, one that really started the crowd's change of heart against the face of the company. He hasn't been on TV since, otherwise he'd likely be higher. Also, this fellow won a ton of Best Dressed awards. At 46, it's Red Velvet, 13 points for her. The crowd loves her, and she seems to always be mixing it up with the top of the division. Will move up the list quite a bit once she can get started winning the big ones with title implications. Wins the tiebreaker with a go-go because she's been featured a bit more regularly throughout the year. At 45, Sean Spears, 14 points and one of the most underappreciated people in AEW. He remains a threat regardless of what his win-loss record is and always just looks cool, especially as the Hatchet Man for the Pinnacle. At 44, it's the Varsity Blondes with 14 points. A lot has been made of the four pillars of youth at AEW, but no one talks about the breakout homegrown tag team stars, the Varsity Blondes. Big things for this group in 2022. Wins the tiebreaker with Sean Spears because Spears does tend to be the person to take most of the punishment when in a matchups alongside the Pinnacle. At number 43, it's Kenta with 16 points. A short stay, but the star made his time worth it, putting on some banger matches with some big names and was one of the first to really show what the Forbidden Door was all about. At 42, it's the Good Brothers with 16 points. Of all the people to use the Forbidden Door, the Good Brothers made the most of it, palling around with the Elite a lot and getting TV time on both Dynamite and impact. At number 41, it's Powerhouse Hobbs with 17 points, the muscle of Team Taz and a Farmer's Market pick, always presented as a threat and had a great match with CM Punk. And I have a feeling he'll jump up this list more than anyone else in 2022. At number 40, it's Nyla Rose with 18 points, the enforcer of the women's division, always a threat, but since losing the title has struggled to get back to the very top of the division. Fortunately for Nyla, with Vicky Guerrero by her side, the top is never that far away. At number 39, it's Ricky Starks with 19 points, the FTW champion. He's on commentary. He's got style. He does it all. The only thing I'd like to see more of from Ricky Starks is more of Ricky Starks. I have a feeling 2022 will be a breakout year for Absolute. At 38, it's Frankie Kazarian with 20 points. He lost his tag team partner, Christopher Daniels, but found new life in the singles division as the Elite Hunter, taking the fight to the most antagonistic of antagonists in AEW. At 37, it's Proud and Powerful with 20 points, the backbone of the Inner Circle, having incredible matches with FTR, Best Friends, and more. The only thing their resume is lacking now are those AEW tag team titles. At 36, it's Chris Statlander with 20 points. Was out for a while, but came back and mixed it up with the top of the women's division. And as of this recording, is still in the thick of things, fighting for the new TBS championship. At number 35, it's Matt Hardy with 21 points. As the leader of the HFO, he's been the final boss of Dark and Elevation, pulling the strings of many of the ne'er-do-wells on the roster and always battling many of the fans' favorites. At 34, it's Serena Deeb with 21 points, representing the NWA for a long time on Dynamite, now is in the women's division and starting to build that division by targeting the longest reigning champion, Hikaru Shida. She had the NWA title matches on Dynamite, and that is the tiebreaker over Matt Hardy. At 33, it's Thunder Rosa with 22 points, wins all the time, gets amazing responses from the crowd, and just needs to get a title around her waist. Once she's able to do that, she'll have put all the pieces together to move into the top half of this list next year. At 32, it's Sting with 23 points. Not that active, but mentoring Darby Allin, winning some cinematic matches, and having great fights against 2.0 plus. Had an entire Winter is Coming episode built around his arrival. At 31, it's Wardlow with 25 points, often in the shadows of MJF, but the muscle of the pinnacle has found that being in the shadow of MJF can sometimes be a pretty good spot. Everyone is waiting for him to break out, but for now, he's doing pretty good where he's at. At number 30, it's Jade Cargill with 26 points, undefeated, and looks every bit the star, which is why she's won numerous Best Dressed awards on Elite of the Week this year. She needs to start getting wins that lead to titles, which she's doing in the TBS tournament. Now she just needs to finish it. At 29, it's Pac with 27 points, wins all the time, but hasn't gotten consistency in his time on the show and been able to secure a championship. He's next to the titles being a part of Death Triangle, but now he needs to get gold of his own to jump to the top half of the yearly rankings. At number 28, it's Adam Cole, baby, with 28 points. New to the company, but just owns everything he is a part of, even recently ending the show with a face-to-face stare down with the man who's now the champion. Always finding a way to be the center of attention, I predict he'll be the center of the AEW title picture very soon. At number 27, it's Luchasaurus with 29 points, the muscle of the Jurassic Express, and one of the reasons the team has been so successful. Someone who jumps off the screen anytime you see him. He'll need to lock in a title soon to continue to remain this dominant, however. At number 26, it's Brian Cage with 29 points. Came into the company like a house of fire and even became the FTW champion. Since losing the title to Ricky Starks, he's been MIA, but with the size, speed, and obvious strength of the machine, that means he could get to the top half of this list next year, no problem. At 25, it's Andrade El Idolo with 31 points. Big wins, throwing money around to higher FTR. Has had some managerial shifts that may have stunted his start, but has been getting big wins nonetheless, and now he just needs to get a big win with title implications. At number 24, it's Hikaru Shida with 32 points. After a year of dominance, disappeared a bit after losing the women's title, making a comeback now, but can't seem to get momentum as Serena Deeb is constantly targeting her. At 23, it's Ruby Soho with 36 points, came into AEW, guns a-blazing, and earned a title shot very quickly. She may have lost that match, but is already in the tournament to be the first ever TBS champion, and as of this recording, could still be considered one of the favorites. At 22, it's Christian Cage with 39 points, known for mentoring Jurassic Express, but also had a couple of world title matches, including one that was an Impact title win. Power rankings are powered by titles, so even in a short span, it's enough to get Christian Cage up to 22. At number 21, it's Orange Cassidy with 44 points, highlights being a winning rivalry against Chris Jericho, which says a lot. Also, had a title opportunity, and he almost won it. Not bad for a guy who doesn't seem to care all that much. At number 20, it's CM Punk with 47 points. Quickly racked up points because he's been the focal point of the show since his arrival. He's had incredible matches with guys like Hobbs and Darby Allin and could probably be in the title picture anytime he wanted it. At number 19, it's Malakai Black with 54 points. He swept the Rhodes family in combat and always seems like a dangerous threat anytime he's on camera. Missing title implication matchups is what's costing him being higher, but I'm sure that's coming down the line. At number 18, it's Lance Archer with 54 points. And as the saying goes, everybody dies. And Archer had a lot of big fights against a lot of big names. He also won the New Japan Pro Wrestling US title from Jon Moxley, which is what gives him the tiebreaker against Malakai Black. At number 17, it's Eddie Kingston with 55 points. Finds himself on the losing end of many of his bigger matchups, but always remains a talking point and a focal point of the most engaging parts of AEW. Whether it be incredible matches or incredible mic work, Eddie Kingston has been can't-miss TV. At number 16, it's Cody Rhodes with 55 points. The crowds change their opinions of him, but he's always giving strong performances, from his entrance to his promos to being the doorman to many of the new talent that comes in. Cody gets the tiebreaker over Kingston because he has a better overall win-loss record. At number 15, it's the men of the year, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky with 55 points. They won a lot on their own, but have won even more together. But aligning with American Top Team and Dan Lambert have put them over the top and made them must-see TV as well as can't-miss competitors. At number 14, it's FTR with 57 points, teaming with the Pinnacle, winning the AEW tag titles, winning the AAA tag titles, and having incredible matchup against the Lucha Bros, Proud and Powerful, and more. This team claims to be the best tag team in the world, but also backs it up. At number 13, Jungle Boy with 66 points. He's really broken out as a star next to the rest of his team, which are all ranked, by the way, and always mentioned as one of the pillars of youth. The only thing eluding him at this point is getting gold around his waist, and I can't imagine that will be an issue for him much longer. At number 12, Bryan Danielson, 68 points. The American Dragon, in a very short time, has come in and gone straight for the jugular, going for the title, racked up a ton of points quickly, possibly the fastest rise of anyone as he went right after Omega, right after the title, and now even has a shot to win it. At number 11, it's Chris Jericho with 75 points. Points, always must-see TV, but since losing the title, has been in side quest mode and do it for the inner circle mode instead of winning championships mode. always entertaining on commentary and always interacting with a wide range of competitors. He's at number 11, but could easily be much higher if things played out just a little bit differently. At number 10, it's Sammy Guevara with 77 points, the highest rated member of the Inner Circle, becoming a hero in their war against the Pinnacle and becoming the TNT champion by dethroning the unstoppable Miro. Now, living the life as a champion here in the top 10 of Elite of the Year. At number 9, it's the Lucha Brothers with 82 points. They've had some ups and downs this year, but they always put on incredible matches and have beaten some of the very best teams. And they're the current AEW Tag Team Champions. And even while defending those titles, they still make time to represent the Death Triangle. At number 8, it's the Young Bucks with 97 points. Being a part of the Elite always has them in strong positions and taking on top talent, but they also put on Match of the Year candidates almost at will, where the tag team champions were for the bulk of the year, and fashion choices kept them in the best category. It has earned them a spot at number 6 on Elite of the Year. At number 7, it's Jon Moxley with 100 points, was the toughest of all AEW champs before losing the title to Omega, but continued to roll on, partnering with Eddie Kingston and really just beating up anyone that they came across, including many who were foolish enough to walk through the forbidden door. At number 6, it's Adam Page with 119 points, ended a very strong year with a very strong way with lots of wins, including a multi-year-long rivalry win over Kenny Omega to become the AEW champion while representing the Dark Order and himself. At number 5, it's Miro with 122 points, evolving from the best man into God's favorite champion. Miro bulldozed his way to becoming the TNT champion and defended it regularly and violently, the very definition of unstoppable, and looking to become a champion again very soon. At number 4, it's Britt Baker with 125 points. Every promo Britt Baker has is amazing. Every match she's in is a show stealer. She has a team around her and a catchphrase that makes everyone so loud it shakes the building. Britt Baker is more than the face of the women's division. She is the women's division. At number 3, it's MJF with 127 points. Love him or hate him, but he's everything you want in a high-power ranking position. Dressed well, big wins over big opponents, gets the last laugh in his rivalries, and sets Twitter abuzz every time he picks up a microphone. The only thing he's missing right now is a title win, but at such a young age, it's a matter of when, not if. At number 2, it's Kenny Omega with 135 points. He was the AEW champion for the majority of the year. He went through the forbidden door and won titles all over, and he's put on spectacular matches, pulled together the Elite, and dressed really well also. Kenny Omega used 2021 to become a household name here in the States and finds himself at number 2 on this year's Elite Power Rankings. At number 1, if you've been keeping track, you may already know who it is, but the number 1 person, the winner of the Elite of the Year, the most power-ranked person, number 1 is Darby Allin with 138 points. The thing that set Darby Allin apart this year was that not only did he become the TNT champion, but he defended that title a lot. He defended it against big names, and he aligned himself with one of the biggest names of all time in Sting. He's the heart and soul of AEW for many reasons, but his TNT title run really set him apart by beating anyone and everyone who wanted some of that action, and he got many wins along the way and bested many rivals, making him your number 1 ranked AEW Elite of the Year wrestler. That does it for the AEW Elite of the Week year-end top 50 countdown. Congrats to everyone who ranked. Congrats to everyone over at AEW for the amazing job they're doing. Thanks to everyone who participated. Like, comment, share, subscribe one last time, and let me know who you think should have been ranked. One final note, hey, I'm available for commentary, ring announcing, and hosting. If you run a wrestling company or if you know someone that does, hit me up at jackcfarmer@gmail.com. Maybe AEW. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Thanks again for everyone following along. And one last time, folks, for the rest of your life, do your best and be yourself.